Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Red Sox here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Girl at the Game, and today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use that promo code Locked On to get 20% off your next order. We have so much to talk about today on the first day where pitchers and catchers have reported baseball activities are officially slowly but surely getting underway, and there are a bunch of different topics that I'm going to cover in today's episode. For starters, some talk of uniform numbers, a little bit of Twitter drama that went down regarding uniform numbers, a last-minute trade with the Tampa Bay Rays, David Ortiz saying that baseball is boring, and after the break, a little bit of uncomfortable talk about the Phillies and Odubel Herrera being back in the news today. So to start off, it's Pitchers and Catchers Day, but not just pitchers and catchers showed up. Some players show up early because they just can't wait. Darwinson Hernandez has been working out in Fort Myers for over a month now, and Kike Hernandez posted a picture in his Instagram story today that showed his brand new Red Sox jersey with the number 5 on it. Of course, number 5 was worn by Nomar for his entire Red Sox career, as well as parts of the rest of his career with the Cubs, Dodgers, and A's. And Nomar works on TV covering the Dodgers out in Los Angeles, so suffice to say, Kike Hernandez has at least met Nomar a handful of times, and he will now wear his number. A couple people I saw on Twitter were getting kind of upset that Hernandez is wearing Nomar's number, saying that the number should be retired by the Boston Red Sox. Now, whether or not you agree with that statement, the fact remains, the number is not yet retired, and therefore Hernandez is more than welcome to wear it. It's also nice when you consider the idea that a lot of players choose to wear a certain number to pay homage to a player they really admire. We've seen that with tons of players throughout their careers, which brings me to Martin Perez, because last night, Twitter erupted in absolute madness, Red Sox Twitter specifically, because the Boston Red Sox roster website was showing that Martin's number had been changed to number 33, which of course was Jason Varitek's number. Varitek, of course, is still with the team and is a beloved part of Red Sox franchise history, and he is the most recent captain that the Red Sox have had. People were very upset that Martin was supposedly going to be wearing the number 33, even though prior to his Boston career, Martin had always worn the number 33. Even Catherine Varitek, Jason's wife, who has a very awesome and fun, outspoken Twitter presence, was like, what the hell is going on here? Wondering why Martin was wearing the number 33. Martin quickly took to Twitter to clarify that he's not changing his number back to 33. He is keeping the number 54. And he tweeted, I've never asked to change my jersey number. I'm going to keep the number 54. Even though I wore in my MLB career the 33, I always respected that this number belongs to Varitek since day one. And it's just one of those things where it's so crazy to see the passion of Red Sox Nation, because they went from being totally obsessed with Martin Perez for the last year, basically, to being ready to tar and feather him on Lansdowne Street for something he didn't even do. I, of course, reached out to Martin and his people to get some clarification on this situation, and they told me that the reason that Martin had switched his number to 54 when he came to Boston was out of respect for Jason Varitek in the first place. Martin's people told me that when Martin signed with Boston last offseason, he didn't know that the number 33 had belonged to Varitek, and when they told him that the number was available, but that it had been Jason Varitek's number, Martin specifically switched to 54 out of respect for Jason Varitek. Later, Varitek actually told Martin that he could use the number 33 if he wanted and that he didn't care. He said that the number didn't make the player, but Martin still said no and that he respected that 33 belonged to Jason Varitek. And so while I totally understand that we associate these numbers with certain players, the number has not been retired yet. And again, same conversation as with Nomar. Whether or not you think Jason Varitek's number should be retired by the Boston Red Sox, the fact remains that if Martin had wanted to wear 33, he was well within his rights to do so. But the fact of the matter is that he actually specifically chose not to wear it out of respect for Jason Varitek, and it must have just been some kind of technical error on the Red Sox website. But it ended up being a whole thing, and ultimately, Catherine Varitek realized that it was not true, that Martin was not trying to take the number 33, even though, again, he could have if he wanted to, and tweeted that everyone in Boston should buy Martin a beer, and Martin replied, "Thank you very much for your words. I respect Jason a lot. He's an amazing person and a very good friend. I enjoy spending time with him, and I'm excited to keep doing it this season." And concluded by saying, "I will never disrespect him and his legacy. BTW, I look forward to that beer." So all's well that ends well, but just a reminder that not everything you see on social media is true, and to not jump the gun and jump to conclusions when a guy like Martin, who loves the Red Sox so much and has so much respect for the franchise, would never just do something like that. Why would he switch his number back after a year? And also a reminder that Jason Varitek is a class act and offered his number up to Martin. So two great guys right there. Now, right at the last minute before spring training began today with pitchers and catchers, the Red Sox made one last trade with Tampa Bay. So from Chaim Bloom's new team to Chaim Bloom's old team, catcher Ronaldo Hernandez and infielder Nick Sogard are coming to Boston in exchange for pitchers Jeffrey Springs and Chris Mazza and cash considerations. Springs was DFA'd yesterday to make room on the 40-man roster for Hirokazu Sawamura. And Chris Mazza apparently was DFA'd on Friday, but I totally missed that because I quite frankly forgot that he was even on the roster. So we're losing two pitchers in exchange for a catcher and an infielder, two prospects. Hernandez is actually a really high-ranked prospect. He was ranked in the top 15 by The Athletic, Baseball America, and MLB Pipeline, as well as ranked 23rd by Fangraphs. He was supposed to be the catcher of the future for the Tampa Bay Rays. This is very interesting because the Red Sox obviously have Christian Vasquez, but Vasquez is only under contract until 2022. The team has an option on him for the 2022 season, and then he will become a free agent. So while Ronaldo Hernandez has only ever played as high as A+ so far, according to Red Sox stats, his rise to the big show could line up with Christian Vasquez's free agency, not next winter, but the following winter. I personally think the veteran presence of Christian Vasquez, I say veteran jokingly because Vasquez is not even remotely old. I think what the Red Sox ultimately should do if Hernandez does pan out as he ascends through their farm system is extend Christian Vasquez and bring up Hernandez slowly. The other trade piece in this deal is infielder Nick Sogard, who is a left side of the infield player, not so exciting by MLB standards today, and we'll talk about that in a second with regards to David Ortiz's comments. Sogard is not a hit for power kind of guy. He is known for having bat control, taking walks, but I think the Red Sox and Major League Baseball in general need more of that because there's just way too much swinging for the fences and striking out in baseball today, which brings me to David Ortiz. David Ortiz thinks baseball is boring. That is what he told Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe. He told Abraham, quote, "To me, it's messed up. The game has changed a lot. Coaches only want kids to hit home runs, and that's all they practice because they want to get paid. We used to want to develop great hitters. Now it's all strikeouts with some home runs and straight up bleeping boring. If you could bet in Vegas that the next hitter was going to strike out, you'd take it every time." So David Ortiz is somebody who, yes, known for being a home run hitter. He hit 541 career home runs, but he also made adjustments throughout his career to make himself more consistent and reduce his strikeout rate. In 2010, he struck out 145 times in 145 games, but the following year, after working on his swing, he only struck out 83 times in 146 games in 2011. And his commentary is 100% correct because David Ortiz's final season was in 2016. And in 2019, which was obviously the last full season of Major League Baseball, 161 MLB hitters struck out at least 100 times, which is nearly a 14% increase from Poppy's final season in 2016. he continued to tell Abraham that he struck out 100 times a couple times in his career and he was upset about it, but now everybody does it. He said everybody is swinging out of their ass, which is typical David Ortiz to just put it that way, but he's right. He says it's not good for the game and it's hard to watch for him. And I 100% agree. There are guys like Michael Chavis and Andrew Benintendi who are just total strikeout machines, and guys aren't just like getting on base anymore. And there's no respect for the ability to take good at bats and to get on base. You look at a guy like Mitch Moreland, who was known for RBI extra base hits when he was in Boston, and that consistency of just smacking a double to drive in a run or two. You need that. It can't be feast or famine. It's one of the reasons that baseball is not fun for people to watch, because most of the time, like he said about betting in Vegas, you're striking out. Now, of course, me personally, I would love to see David Ortiz come back and continue to make an impact on the game by steering baseball away from this direction. Or, you know, if he just wants to unretire and do it himself, that's cool too. Now, I know this isn't super okay, but I am the kind of person who sneaks snacks into the ballpark because, quite frankly, a woman cannot subsist solely on Fenway Park tater tots, especially when they are $6 a bucket. What I will probably be sneaking into Fenway Park this year is Built Bars. Built Bar makes protein bars that taste like candy bars, so they are perfect if you are looking to lose or maintain weight but still want to indulge in a delicious treat. Each bar is low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber, and coated in 100% chocolate. They have 18 amazing flavors, so they will definitely have something that fits your taste buds. And it's just a great way to stay healthy but still indulge in a delicious treat, which is exactly the kind of thing I need to eat during a baseball game instead of a bucket of tater tots covered in cheese and a chocolate milkshake, which is my go-to Fenway snack. Built Bar is giving our listeners an exclusive deal. When you go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your order. And that promo code works if you are a first-time buyer or a repeat customer, because Built Bar knows that once you try a Built Bar, you are going to want more. So again, that's builtbar.com with promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off. And I don't know about you, but I get so intimidated when I have to go shopping for something I'm not an expert on. You want me to go to a makeup store with you? No problem. But the idea of going into a traditional chain storefront to buy auto parts makes me so nervous. There are so many intimidating questions that I don't know the answer to. And you know what? Half the time when I go into a store like this, they're not even going to have the part I need, or it's going to be insanely expensive. Because fun fact, chain storefronts charge 30, 50, even 100% more for the same exact auto parts that you could get at rockauto.com. Their prices are reliably low, the same for everyone, unlike those chain stores, because chain stores charge different prices for mechanics than they do for do-it-yourselfers. But Rock Auto charges the same prices for everybody, and they do not change their prices based on what the market bears the way airlines do. They're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have the easiest checkout process. You don't even need membership or account login. When you go to rockauto.com, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. From team-focused farm system breakdowns, prospect rankings, and interviews with some of the brightest up-and-comers in the game, Locked On Prospects is the best way to stay plugged in on the future of your favorite team. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. Now, before I wrap up today's episode, I just want to talk about something that is really close to my heart, definitely an uncomfortable topic, but something that I'm very vocal about on social media and that I think is a really important topic that we can't just shy away from or sweep under the rug. And it's not a Red Sox topic, but it's an MLB topic that I think should matter to everybody who has basic moral decency. Odubel Herrera has been invited. He is one of 19 players who has been given an invitation to attend spring training mini camp. This is different than the major league camp, but does mean that Herrera could play in spring training camps potentially. And if you're wondering why I'm talking about a guy with the Phillies, it's because he was on the Phillies and then was suspended 85 games without pay in July 2019 for violating MLB and the MLBPA's joint domestic violence, sexual assault, and child abuse policy. The suspension was retroactive to June 24th of 2019 and covered both regular and postseason games. Herrera attacked his girlfriend in Atlantic City in May 2019. She told casino security that she had been attacked. According to the police report, she had visible signs of injury to her arms and neck that was sustained after being assaulted, including handprint markings on her neck and scratches. But then she declined to press charges, so prosecutors dropped the case, which happens a lot in domestic violence and assault cases because the victims are afraid. At the time, this was a unfamiliar kind of suspension for MLB because in the past, if you were found to violate their policy regarding domestic violence, sexual assault, or child abuse, if you were found to violate the policy, you were still eligible to play in postseason games. This was one of the key differences between this policy and their performance-enhancing drugs policy. If you were found guilty of using a performance-enhancing substance, a banned substance, you were banned from that year's postseason on your team, even if your suspension did not extend into the postseason, like if you were starting the suspension at the beginning of the season. But domestic abusers could play in the postseason, as we saw with someone like Aroldis Chapman. So apologies if I sound agitated and not extremely eloquent, but this really bothers me because Herrera should not be back in baseball. And the way that he is being spoken about by his manager and players on the Phillies is very unacceptable. Joe Girardi, who is now the Phillies manager, said that Herrera will have to earn his way back to the Phillies. They're giving him a chance this spring to prove himself, but said, quote, "None of us are perfect. We've all fallen short." I don't personally consider attacking a woman to be falling short. That's a pretty light way of putting it. I mean, his second chance is that he's not in prison. He shouldn't be back on a Major League Baseball team making millions of dollars. He's lucky that he's walking the streets a free man. And one of the reasons for that is because his girlfriend, who he attacked, was too afraid to press charges against him, even though there was visible evidence that he assaulted her. And then, of course, Aaron Nola said that he would welcome Odubel Herrera back to the Phillies. He said he believes in second chances and thinks his teammates would agree. He said, quote, "Baseball-wise, he could definitely help us win." And this is what really bothers me because, first of all, don't make excuses for Aaron Nola. He's a grown man. He knows that what he's saying matters. And basically what he's saying is that victims of domestic violence and domestic abuse don't matter as much as winning baseball games. Like, don't pretend you care about domestic violence when you really just care about winning. Because you know what? There are a lot of things in this world that are more important than baseball. It just confounds me because there are so many baseball players who are working their butts off, who don't abuse women, who can help your team, and they're just waiting for a chance. And instead, you're sticking with guys like Herrera. Don't pretend that you care about domestic violence when you clearly just care about winning. Because if you cared at all, you would just fire these guys and never bring them back. Hire a guy who doesn't assault women. It's really not that difficult. It's not. When a team is this desperate, like the Phillies or the Astros when they signed Roberto Osuna while he was on trial for assaulting the mother of his child in 2018, what you are telling the world and victims of domestic abuse is that winning matters more to you than people. And that's just absolutely disgusting to me. It is really hard to support baseball when they can't even go one full 24-hour stint into official MLB activities without pulling some kind of nonsense like this. It is so insulting to victims of domestic violence. And so I'm very sorry to end an episode on this note, but if you are the kind of person who thinks that winning baseball games is more important than being a good human being, I don't really know what to tell you at this point. So this has been your first episode of Locked On Red Sox heading into spring training activities. Thank you so much for listening. If you or someone you know is experiencing domestic violence, call 1-800-799-7233. That's the National Domestic Violence Hotline number. They can help you. Thank you so much for tuning in.